The following is an exclusive sports presentation of Extra Sports 1300.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
Southern Colorado, it's time for your live and local sports talk show.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
Drive Time Sports, presented by Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery, your sports action hub with over 54 TVs so you don't miss out on the action, located at Woodman and I-25. The only place to hear talk about your teams.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh man, I hate those guys.
Here are your hosts, Ryan Kaufman and Chris Braden, with the godfather of Colorado Springs sports radio, Wheels.
Happy Friday to you, even if the weather doesn't look so good outside. Ryan and Wheels with you in studio. We'll be here until 6 o'clock. Hopefully you will be as well. Got a lot brewing on the show today. We have a busy first hour, really busy first hour. Today, USA Hockey announced who will be coaching the men's team in Pyongyang, a familiar name in these parts, former Avalanche head coach and current head coach of the University of Wisconsin, Tony Granato. And wouldn't you know it, Coach Granato joins us now. Funny how that works. Coach, congratulations. How does that new title sound to you?
Thank you, Ryan. Obviously, I'm very honored and excited to be part of the staff and, you know, to get another chance to be part of an Olympic team is a great honor. And we got a lot of challenges in front of us putting this team together, but just looking at the talent pool of the players we'll have available to us, it gets us really excited that we'll have a competitive team to work with that, like all USA teams, when you enter a tournament, you expect to win a medal and play for a medal and compete for a medal, and that's what we'll do.
Where were you when you got the news?
I was back in Madison, Wisconsin, and Jimmy Johansson gave me a call a few weeks back and asked of my interest in being part of the staff. And I said, absolutely, Jimmy, but I'd have to get permission from my athletic director, Barry Alvarez. And Jimmy, you know, mentioned he'd like me to be the head coach and made the quick trip over to the football office to talk to Coach Alvarez and got his blessing immediately. And you know, it was one of those days where I guess when you're a little kid, you dream some days you're going to get a special call, and that certainly was a special call for me.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, when you're, you know, a teenager watching the U.S. beat the Soviet Union on the Miracle on Ice in Lake Placid, did you picture yourself as Herb Brooks, or did you picture yourself playing?
I think I was Mark Johnson and okay. Mike Ruzzioni when I was playing in the basement. I don't think I was Herb Brooks with a whistle behind, you know, around my neck, but certainly I remember that day and that team extremely well. That was the team that had the biggest impact on my career and probably all of the Americans that were youth hockey players at that time, because not only did it give us a lot of inspiration, but it also opened a lot of doors for us in collegiate hockey and in the NHL. And all of a sudden, Americans were respected around the world for what they put on the ice. So I think that was, for me, the gold medal game, and then the win against Finland was the most exciting hockey and sporting event that I've ever watched. And to still be able to talk about it and think and still get the chills when you think about, you know, the countdown of Al Michaels is really an event that so many of us that were hockey players at the time, and really just sports fans or Olympic fans or people that turned on the TV, you know, to see what was going on in Olympic competition. That was an impactful moment, and certainly for us as an American player, like I said, opened a lot of doors for us.
The head coach of the U.S. men's Olympic hockey team, Tony Granato, joining us here on Drive Time Sports. So what do you think that USA Hockey saw in you to make them decide that you're the right man for the job here in about 7 months?
Well, I think our staff in general, if you look at Chris Chelios, Scott Young, Keith Elaine, and Ronnie Rolston, we have a lot of international experience. I think when you're going into a tournament like this, there's some new challenges that will arise. Obviously, it's quite a bit different format than the previous five Olympics with our NHL guys. So we've all played in short tournaments. We've all coached in short tournaments. We all have a ton of international experience as far as knowing our opponents and knowing what to expect in these type of tournaments. So we're going to share our ideas with each other in the next couple months here to get ready for our first tournament in Germany. We'll put together a game plan that we think will be easy for our players to understand and comprehend and give them a chance to go out and show their skills off. And like I said, I think the talent pool and the depth of American hockey is at an all-time high with all of our junior teams, with our development program right here in Plymouth, Michigan, with our USHL and North American League teams and our college teams. There's so many great feeders and places for our kids and American hockey players to develop and grow. And now we got players playing all over the world internationally, professionally, and from our college players, from our AHL players, and from our players playing internationally, we'll have a lot of skilled hockey players to pick from, and we look forward to getting them together, and we're going to pick the 25 players that we think will gel into a team and give us the best chance for success.
If you had your druthers, would you be able to pick from NHL players?
Well, I think anybody, of course, if NHL players were available and Patrick Kane, if they okay Patrick Kane to come play, you're going to say, yeah, we'll take Patrick Kane in your lineup. But you got to remember when you go back to the Olympics pre-pro NHL guys, you know, Mark Johnson and Mike Ramsey and Kenny Morrow and all of these guys played coming out of college before they started their pro career, and then went out and had 10 and 15 and 20-year pro careers as well. So Chris Chelios was one of those guys in 1984, played before he became an NHL player. So there's a lot of excitement about giving players that haven't had NHL careers the opportunity and the center stage for them to represent their country. And like I said, I think we're going to have a real exciting team. I think we're going to have a talented team. And I think at the start of the Olympics, you're going to turn it on and enjoy the product that we're able to put on the ice and compete for a medal.
And Tony Granato joining us. Of course, if they ask your opinion, all you need to do is print off a Badgers roster and hand it to them, right?
A Badger roster. Yeah, there's quite a few Badgers that are playing internationally. There's the Badger that we joked about this morning in the press conference and last night at dinner was Chris Chelios, from the standpoint that he's played so many games and so many international events and four Olympics, and he still in his mind thinks he could play and help us. So he might be out on the ice today practicing to get ready for our first Olympic practice.
I'd still take him over half the blue liners in the NHL, that's for sure. last thing, Tony, before we let you run, you mentioned that Coach Alvarez was in full support of you doing this. But as you start to kind of plan out, because I know how you coaches are, you're planning five moves ahead. How do you plan to strike a balance between your Olympic duties and then your duties at the University of Wisconsin?
Well, I think it gives me a really good opportunity to come out of it as a better coach. I think that we got to be efficient. I got to, you know, obviously uphold my responsibilities to the University of Wisconsin and our student athletes there. We've got a really good thing going there. We had a real solid year last year, and this year's we have an opportunity to put even a better year on top of it. So I'll have my full commitment there. There'll be times when I can take my breaks and spend time on the phone with our assistant coaches and with Jimmy Johansson and Ben Smith, who's in charge of being on the road and watching our players. But there'll be time to do it. I think that this setup that we have with the experience that we have on our staff, we're going to get together a lot in the next month to put a lot of plan in place on the ideas that we think will help us as we move forward. So we'll get to know our players. I think the biggest thing for me that I want to make sure that we focus on is the fact that a lot of these guys will have never coached before, and I think it's important for us in our week that we do have in Germany is to get to know our players really well. And more importantly than us knowing them, I want them to get to know us. So we're going to spend a lot of time, whether it be through the Internet, whether it be when we're there, getting in a position where they can be comfortable being around us. And when we do get to Seoul, they'll be ready to go and comfortable playing for us.
Just make sure you expense those phone calls. I don't know who you charge the bill to, USA Hockey or the University of Wisconsin, but I'm sure you'll figure that out. Tony, it's great to have you back affiliated with Colorado, obviously USA Hockey here. I know that you're extremely busy starting right now, so we really appreciate the time.
I appreciate it so much.
There's Tony Granato, head coach of the U.S. men's Olympic hockey team, joining us here on Drive Time Sports.
This is Scott Farrell, host of Farrell on the Bench, on your home for the best sports talk in Colorado. Extra Sports 1300.
Drive Time Sports on a Friday here on Extra Sports 1300. Our first week of our 25 teams in 25 days segment concludes with the Coronado Cougars. After a 3-7 season, they're looking to get this one-storied program back to prominence in the city of Colorado Springs. Joining us now is the man they believe will take them there. Monty Gutowski joins me on the show. Monty, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Ryan. How are you?
Doing great. So you all moved in, settled, and ready for the season?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we've had a good summer program and everything, and a lot of kids that had attended and definitely have gotten a lot better. So we had this last week off, so we'll be recharged and rejuvenated for next week, get ready to go.
What about this job appealed to you?
I think the biggest thing for me is, you know, I live on the west side, and my kids are going to be going through those schools as well. And that was the biggest thing for me was, you know, to be able to see my kids come up and through it as well.
You spent a couple years at Manitou Springs. What did you learn over your time there?
I think what I learned at Manitou was just to be a lot more patient with how things come together. And just, you know, roll with the punches a little bit and not be so, you know, stuck to a schedule type of thing. And I think that that was one of the big things that I took away from Manitou for sure. And it's, you know, a smaller school and things like that. But, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that the kids aren't any more or less talented by any means.
No, certainly not. And you mentioned patience and being able to adjust things. Do you believe that when you sit down with the decision makers over at Coronado, that was something that they came away maybe impressed by, or that was something that perhaps got you the job, because this is a team that is going through a little bit of a rebuild?
Yeah, I think just going through the process was one of those things of, you know, they wanted to have somebody that's going to be able to be involved in the community, not just at Coronado, but, you know, through with the youth and middle school programs that feed to us as well. And so I think that was a big pull of being able to get back to that and you know, build that back up, because it's, you know, it hasn't been quite the same within the last couple years.
Now, there may be some people, this might surprise you, that don't follow much of what goes on west of old Colorado City. So can you give us a little bit of insight into what a Monty Gutowski coach team may look like? How do you like to play?
Well, we're going to be physical. We're going to be a physical football team on both sides of the ball. And, you know, we're definitely going to be a more of a run-first type of attack and things like that. And defensively, we're going to get as many guys around the ball flying around and just playing, not a whole lot of thinking, and just having fun and playing with their buddies and enjoying themselves. So I think you'll see a lot of energy and excitement throughout, you know, our staff and our kids, that's going to come through for sure.
Do you think that you have the personnel in place to immediately play the way that you'd like to play?
I think time will tell. I think, you know, we finished up our summer two-week camp and everything that we can do. And so, you know, still short a few guys and here and there. But I think, you know, the tools are definitely there. I think, you know, a lot of things that come into play with a season is you got to stay healthy and you got to be able to, you know, create your own luck with some things. And I think that we definitely have those opportunities in front of us. It's just a matter of if we're going to latch on and be able to do that. I think the kids have definitely adjusted to our coaching staff and our style of being upbeat, positive, and really just having a lot of energy is the big thing that I come away with.
when you look at this team from last year, what are the one or two things that you identify as perhaps problem areas or areas that need to be fixed in order to get this team to improve in 2017?
Well, I just think, you know, you just, it always comes back to the basics. You know, you got to be able to block and tackle. I mean, it's not a huge secret, but a lot of different people struggle with it. I mean, I've been there before too, you know, and it's just one of those things where you just got to constantly work at it and get better at it. And I know that, you know, over the 7-8 weeks over the summer, we've definitely gotten a lot better at blocking and tackling, those two things alone. And I think if, you know, we can be in that, you know, upper 75-80% realm of blocking percentage-wise on the offensive side of the ball, we're going to be set up just fine. And defensively, if we can have, you know, 8-9 guys on the ball, we're going to be sitting just fine.
Monty Gutowski, the new head coach at Coronado High School, joining us here on Drive Time Sports. One of the things that I would imagine is some kind of a luxury is being able to come into a team where a lot of the key contributors are returning from last year. That's not always the case when you inherit a program. Maybe they're losing a lot of seniors. Doesn't seem like up and down the roster that Coronado is losing a whole lot of the guys that we saw playing key roles last year.
Correct. You know, there is a big group of seniors here that have played together for a really long time, you know, in fourth, fifth grade up through middle school together. And so they really have a great connection and understanding for what each other is going to do and what to expect from one another. And so I think that's definitely a luxury when you're able to step into a program that there are some key components, some guys that have been seasoned and have game time experience. That's going to help you down the road no matter what, you know, because they've been in those situations and things like that. And so that's definitely a positive.
Is Toby Smith your quarterback going into the season?
Yes, okay. He is. And he's had a good summer. He's had to adjust with some different things, but I think he's done a really good job of doing that. And, you know, he's really progressed in a positive direction all the way through with the things that we're going to do. So I'm very pleased with his progress and excited to see what the season brings for him.
When you look at the conference that you're playing in, you have two very good teams in Vista Ridge and Rampart. You are one of three, I believe, new head coaches within the conference. Do you go in with any maybe expectation or goal when it comes to the league, or do you think that this league is in such a state of flux that it may take us a few weeks to even get a grasp on how good this conference can be?
I think you go into every season how you break it up into your quarters of, you know, where you place your importance. And I think every team goes into a season wanting to first and foremost, you know, come out winning their non-league games and then being a league champ and making the playoffs and competing in the playoffs and ultimately being a state champ. That's everybody's goal. But right now, to be honest with you, Ryan, we're so focused on week one that I haven't really thought or put a lot of stock into our league. I'm more worried about what we do and what we control, and that's what our focus has been as a program.
Well, you mentioned the season opener. Let's chat about that real quick before I let you run. Aurora Central, August 31st, 6:30 p.m. Give us a brief synopsis, scouting report on Aurora Central and what you guys will need to do in order to start the season off on the right foot.
Well, I think they also have a new coach, but it was from the previous staff from within. So I think they'll be similar in what they do from last season and things. And there's going to have some bigger kids for sure, and they're probably going to have some speed. And we just got to be ready to go, and hopefully, you know, our attention to detail on the special team side of things going into week one, I think, plays such a key role. If you're able to be able to have a little bit more ball control and pin them and sneak away with some of those things and make sure your PATs are, you know, blocked up well and potential at a field goal, that could be the difference maker. But other than that, I don't know a whole lot about them specifically outside of what they did last year.
And as is the case with every coach, high school, college, or professional that I talk to, you guys are way more worried about yourselves than your opponent. But, Monty, really appreciate you taking time to join us today. Best of luck this season, and I'm sure we'll be talking again very soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, my pleasure. Monty Gutowski, the new head coach at Coronado High School, joining me here on Drive Time Sports. And I think what he said there was near the beginning was key, and that's why I followed up with the question about whether he thinks that that's something that prompted Coronado to name him the head coach. Because if you remember Coronado, they after some years of struggling, they got a play down, they succeeded, they moved back up. They thought that they had built back up momentum, and then it just didn't show out in the results. And now you look at this team, and they're rebuilding. There's no doubt about that. And Monty learned over in Manitou Springs that got to be patient, got to roll with the punches, in his words. So I think it's a good fit there. I think I've heard from people in Manitou Springs. I know that the wins and losses didn't show out the way that he would have liked, but a lot of people are big fans of his out in Manitou Springs, and a lot of people are really excited about what he might be able to do at Coronado. And as I mentioned, you have all over the place, you have a giant senior class. I believe the quarterback from last year, the top couple of receivers, the top couple of runners, a few top tacklers, linemen, all back. So there's no reason to think, even though this is a rebuild, that they can't find some success this coming season at Coronado. But thanks again to Monty Gutowski for joining us, and we'll see if we have the chance to bring you one of the Cougars games coming up this season on Football Night in the Springs. That will premiere in September, of course, and you'll be able to hear it right here on Extra Sports 1300.
For me, it's pretty easy. I just want to be better than I was yesterday.
The NFL season is right around the corner.
I want the best guy for this football team.
And Denver's got a lot to figure out.
I feel way more comfortable out there with those guys.
This is Drive Time Sports training camp coverage presented by Tilted Kilt.
That's right. We start hour number two on this Friday edition of Drive Time Sports by talking Broncos training camp day ocho. Up at Dove Valley, Ryan and Wheels with you in studio. So I'll just give you the Cliff Notes version of the quarterback play today. Trevor, yay, Paxton. Pfft. There you go. That's the synopsis. No, it was – so Trevor Siemian starts the day with the ones and responds in a big way. Remember we were playing audio yesterday of – Vance Joseph getting asked if he's telling Trevor to change his personality. We love everything about you except your personality. He came out, threw a touchdown immediately. Really good sequence. He audibles out of a play. He lobs it into the back of the end zone. Latimer catches it. Boom, great start. Trevor Siemian showing emotion. It started off really well for him. And with Paxton Lynch, it wasn't completely down. But it was the epitome of two steps forward, one step back with this guy today. He threw back-to-back touchdown passes. Then he's picked in the end zone. Then he throws a touchdown to DT. Then Lorenzo Doss pick sixes him. Just same story, different day with these two guys. And Vance Joseph was asked about Trevor Siemian. Here's what he had to say.
I saw Trevor just being consistent, making his reads and making the throws, you know, where the Reese told him to make the throws. He did a good job today.
So there you go. He knows what he's getting. But do you hear in Vance Joseph's voice, do you hear in his reaction, and this is consistent, when he talks about Trevor Siemian, it is the verbal formation of a shoulder shrug. I mean, it just like, yeah, he was good. He didn't make any mistakes. What do you want from me? He is who he is. That's the way that Vance Joseph talks about Trevor Siemian. And then when Paxton does something well, it's Paxton's Paxton. Paxton's going to ball. You know, it's more excitement. Like, you can't tell me that in a perfect world, for this team, Paxton Lynch wouldn't be the, they don't want him to be the starter. They absolutely do. They want so desperately for Paxton Lynch to win this job. Think about it. Dynamic defense. You have dynamic playmakers on offense. You have a coach in Vance Joseph who is excitable and dynamic, and you know, he commands a room. You have John Elway, many people consider the GOAT, sitting in your front office. And then you're going to put, and then Trevor Siemian's going to play the most important position. So they want Paxton Lynch to start. But here's the thing. Many of you have the family car, right? And if you're in a good place financially and you're in a good place in life, you have your own car. My dad used to call it, he had the work car and there's a family car, right? The work car is the car that you like. Maybe you put a little bit more shekels down to get your car. Maybe you're in sales or whatever, and you need to present a certain appearance. So you have a little bit nicer car, but then you have the minivan or the four-door sedan or whatever at home that you drive the wife and kids around in. The car that's yours, your work car, is obviously pricier than the family car. You hand wax it. No one's allowed to have food in it. You take care of it. And then in the family car, you run it through a gas station car wash. Just, oh, I'm getting, pumping some gas. Oh, yeah, when it prompts you to get a car wash, you're like, oh, yeah, I should probably do that because 80 birds just crapped all over the vehicle yesterday. But it's not something, you're not actively maintaining it. And like, you dump McDonald's fries on the floor and you're like, man, that's the way you treat the family car. But here's the thing. If the work car, the your car, whatever you want to call it, has a bad transmission and you think the family car is the only way you're going to get to work in the morning, you're going to take the family car. You don't want to. You want to take the cool car. You want to impress people. You want to be able to peel out like all the cool kids do. You want that car. That's the car you want to drive around. The family car is out of necessity. You have to have it. You got two kids. You have a dog that travels with you on trips. You got to have a family car, a minivan, or a sedan. But at the end of the day, you got to get to work, right? And that's the thing with the Broncos right now. They have the nicer car. They have the one that they, their pet, their baby, right? That's Paxton Lynch. They invested a lot in Paxton Lynch. They traded up in the draft. They pay him a handsome salary on a rookie deal, but still, it's a handsome salary for a rookie. And he's not reliable. You know, he comes out, looks good against the twos, you throw him against the ones, and he wets the bed. So my bigger point in all of this is at some point, you just feel like the Broncos should just say, Trevor Siemian is our starter, and then if he falters, now say he's the starter, and now this is me editorializing after it, say he's the starter, and then if he stinks, yank him and put in Paxton Lynch. I do believe in the ability of Paxton Lynch. It is there. But I'm coming to the point where I just can't, I don't know how you can waste another year of this defense. And while it may sound counterintuitive, because who was the guy leading the team last year? It was Trevor Siemian, right? So why would playing Siemian again not mean that they're wasting another year? Because the running game's better. Because the offensive line's better. How much more do you think Trevor Siemian has to be better? Because he has to be. He absolutely has to be. I'm not saying that Trevor Siemian can be the same guy he was last year and lead this team anywhere they want to go. But don't you give him a sliver of improvement? And we all have the reserve the right to change our minds. Maybe Trevor goes out against the Bears or against the 49ers or the Packers or whoever, and he just looks horrible and Paxton Lynch balls out. Maybe that's the issue. When you were in school, there were people that were, you know, there were homework people and then there were test people, right? Some people just got low grades on their day-to-day homework, but then you give them, you put an SAT or something in front of them and they're scoring through the roof. Maybe that's what Paxton Lynch is. Maybe Paxton Lynch is a guy that just needs to play games. He's not in for this scripted, padless nonsense that the Broncos have been doing for most of camp. Maybe he just needs to go out and play. And then we see all of a sudden that that car maybe isn't as messed up as we may think. But from the evidence that has been provided to me, I just don't know when Paxton Lynch, it's going to click for Paxton Lynch. So I guess I'm not advocating that they name Trevor Siemian the starter, but I'm just saying name a starter. Just do it. Nothing's going to change. There's going to be no aha moment for these guys. And I've just been getting closer and closer to this realization over the past couple of weeks. There's not going to be an aha moment. Take the evidence you have now and decide what you want to do. And then if one guy screws up, then put in the other guy. What's the harm? 286-0046, if you want to weigh in. I've seen some of you today on the Twitter and the Facebook and the text line already. Some of you are on my side. Just name a starter and let's go. Let's do this. Let's rally around this guy and bring us into the season. Wheels, where are you at on that?
I'm kind of with you, but I'd say at least wait for Chicago.
Okay.
Let them play a game against a defense that they don't know. See how they do there and then make a decision.
Okay.
So
you're saying Friday morning, let's have a starter.
Yeah. Next.
This time next week.
1 week from today, decide.
Yeah.
You know, let them play one game, get that under their belt, and then make a decision based on that.
I like it. There's so much, I mean, there's so much more positive stuff that's really going on, despite what Derek Wolfe may say today. The running game has been getting the better of the defense quite a bit. Quite a bit. I mean, you were out there, Wheels.
Yeah, they absolutely are. Everybody is. You know, from Ridley to Jamal Charles was owning them, and even the young guys, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to do it for the week. A lot of fun. Hopefully you'll be back with us on Monday here on Extra Sports 1300.